It's 5:15 on Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Terry Cavanaugh as we welcome Dr. Laurie Sundberg, the president of Carl Sandburg College, to our studios here tonight. Very happy to have a chance to catch up with Laurie and talk a little bit about graduation and the numbers there. And then talk about, we got a couple of highlights, according to Laurie, that we'll share tonight, too, which is kind of nice to have a little bit of positive news here.
It's good to be here, Terry.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. So how was graduation?
Graduation was awesome. For me, graduation is the best day of the year because it reminds you just so clearly why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. It's just that one moment where, you know, graduates come across the stage and some of them are crying, some of them are excited. Their families are thrilled. And so it's just that moment because a lot of times during the year, there's a lot of stressful things going on that lead up to that. And so sometimes, you know, you need to be reminded of all the good things that are going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where I want to start tonight. I want to talk about the good things
okay. That
are going on. And you mentioned to me a couple of items just before we went on the air that are really positives for the college. So I'll let you share those.
We do. We have one huge one that happened today. We turned in a grant it's an experimental grant with the Department of Ed, and it's to allow dual credit students to access federal financial aid because right now they can't. And it's a real barrier for students to complete dual credit. And so we were one of 44 colleges from across the United States that we were funded. And so we will have this program so students can access federal financial aid for their dual credit. It's huge. Absolutely huge. And the fact that we discount dual credit by 50%, their federal financial aid dollars are going to go farther. So they can not only start college earlier and get aid, but they're going to last a little bit longer.
Explain the process of dual credit just a little bit more, Laurie, so we understand what this means for a student.
Dual credit is whereby a high school student can take classes in the high school that are college courses, and they'll count for credit at the high school, but they'll also count for credit with us. It's typically one of our faculty members go there, and it is a college course. And it's challenging because even though we discount it by 50%, it still makes it prohibitive if, you know, you're a family with, you know, young children. And so the ability to access federal financial aid is huge. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be able to now. And it'll be ready for this fall. So we are thrilled.
So if they're like a senior doing a class, they'll be able to access that?
Yes, they will. It's just so. And it's just an experimental grant. They say it's for 3 years because they want to see. They're trying to sort out because all of us have been saying at the national level, we have got to get federal financial aid pushed out to high school students because it's a barrier. You know, the cost is a barrier. And so they're trying it. 44 colleges across the U.S. will have the opportunity to try it. There are three in Illinois, ICC, Southwestern, and us. So it's pretty remarkable that, I mean, we're the smallest of those three, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty remarkable that we were able to get funded, but we did.
What did they base that on? Do you know?
They based it on criteria of need and your ability to deliver education. And I can tell you that our Dean of Student Success, who is Misty Lyon, and Lisa Hansen, our Director of Financial Aid, they're the two that wrote this grant, and they are the ones that figured out how to let the feds know in a very coherent manner that we could do it, that we could manage it, and we were successful. So really all the credit goes to those two because they're the ones that wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Laurie, what would you say is the percentage of students who are doing dual credit, if indeed they can afford to do so?
Oh, gosh, I don't know what would be the total percentage of students who are doing dual credit. We do different amounts in different locations. Like, for example, down south, Warsaw, Illini West, Hamilton, they're smaller districts. And so they started years ago using us because we were able to add a breadth and depth to their curriculum that they couldn't do on their own. Mm-hmm. And so they've been doing quite a bit of dual credit. So I would say maybe down there, 30 or 40% of the seniors have some dual credit. But then also then you run into the problem with federal financial aid or the ability to pay. So if we could somehow fix that, which now we should be able to, that's a barrier. We probably have in our district probably free and reduced lunch maybe 50% across the district. And so, you know, those families have just been left out really. Even, you know, we started discounting – when I took over as president, within that first year, we started discounting by 50% because it was obvious that it was a barrier. Mm-hmm. And even still at 50%, it's still a barrier to some.
Yeah, but this will help, and they'll be able to apply for it in the fall.
Yes, they will.
Outstanding. That's not the only good news that Lori had received recently. Tell us about the Moody's rating.
Yeah, the Moody's, which is the rating firm for bonds for community colleges, have been doing ratings calls with community colleges because we're in Illinois, and the outlook, the financial outlook, is not good for us. There's a budget crisis, as probably everybody knows. So that's created problems. And so we did this bond rating call, and I was prepared for our rating to be, you know, decreased based upon the fact that we're in Illinois. But we made a strong case for why it shouldn't be. We have good financial reserves. We have good liquidity, strong management in terms of internally monitoring expenses in regard to revenue. And they agreed with us. And so they did not lower our bond rating. And so we're probably one of the few colleges in the state that did not get lowered. So tremendous news. It only means, you know, a lot to people that are in the business, kind of understand mm-hmm. business and how that all goes. But in terms of the fact that we've gotten no money at all, well, I take that back. We've gotten $400,000 from the state. So in the midst of a crisis where we're actually not getting any money at all, we were able to maintain our rating. So
which is?
AA+.
It's not where I wanted to go right at the moment, but because we're talking about federal financial aid and we're talking about a AA+ rating, Dr. Teresa Ahmad alluded to on Friday that Knox would receive some funding from the state in terms of MAP grant funding. What about Carl Sandburg?
Yeah, we were going to be paid for fall, but not for spring. And we didn't front the money for students this spring. We didn't feel like we could afford to because we were not getting any state aid. So we received $407,000 for some aid. We'd budgeted $1.9 million. We probably budgeted a little high. We probably would have come in about 1.6, but we got $400,000, and then we got $177,000 for MAP. So clearly, not very much money in the grand scheme of things in terms of what we'd budgeted.
Half of what you budgeted, it sounds like, but more than I think the last time when I talked to the three presidents right here in this studio,
we got nothing. Yeah.
Everybody was very, very concerned about seeing any kind of dollars.
It's a problem because that's a reason for Illinois students to stay in Illinois to go to college because of this MAP funding. And if MAP funding isn't available, there's not a lot of other incentives for them to stay here. And so this budget crisis really, and I keep saying this, I think in 20 years when we look back on this period, we're going to see that there was a lot of damage done to higher ed in a variety of ways. I think we're going to see declining enrollments as students and families have lost confidence in the Illinois university system. I think we're going to see an outflow of talent. Faculty and administrators are going to look for jobs in other states. And we're going to have a hard time replacing those who leave. People aren't going to want to come here to work. And so I think we really need to be mindful of the effects that this is going to have long term. Yep.
Yeah. It's 5:23 on Galesburg's Evening News. Our guest is Dr. Lori Sundberg, the president of Carl Sandburg College. We'll talk about some other issues and topics right after these messages. We're visiting with Dr. Lori Sundberg from Carl Sandburg College tonight. We talked a little bit about graduation. Where's your numbers at with that, Lori, in terms of the graduate
body? I think we're
about
even with the number that walked last year. I think it was 253 this year, and that's about what we had last year. We end up having more than that graduate, probably have closer to 500 graduates, but not everybody wants to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish they would because it's just such an experience to do that. And I think people who thought, oh, I don't really need to walk, when they finally their family talks them into it, they always say that they're glad that they did.
Yeah. Not to be missed, in other words. Tell us a little bit about the partnership with Western Illinois for those international students. This was an interesting development over the last couple – well, it's probably been developing for a while, but you've had an honors program, I think, partnership with Western Illinois already in the last year, and this is something that occurred just recently.
Yeah, this is something new. So colleges, because there's declining population in Illinois, and so Western recruits a lot from Illinois, as do we in terms of our district, and there's declining population, declining numbers – A lot of colleges and universities are looking for international students to bolster enrollment. And so the community college, we haven't done a lot of that. We're not very experienced in it. We haven't done a lot of that. We don't have the funds really to do it. But Western is farther down the road than we are. And they have found when they're out recruiting in other countries that there's a whole population of student who really can't afford to come to Western for all 4 years. But if they could package a four-year degree with us for 2 years, they could afford that. And so they feel like there's a whole population of student that they're missing and they can't get because of the price. And so by partnering with us, they can package a four-year education for these students at a pretty affordable price. It helps us. It also helps them because by the time they come to us, then we have them the first 2 years and kind of work out some of those things with, you know, American education and how it works, and then they transfer on.
Explain to me, it always seemed like I went to a community college, so it was like you had to be in the community college district at the time. So when you talk about international students, it sounds like how does that work? I mean, I'm guessing they may live in the villas and they'll be here, but do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, they pay an out-of-state rate. So we have in-district rate, out-of-district rate, okay, and out-of-state. And because they are an international, they will never, even if they live at the villas, they won't get residency because they're not a citizen. Mm-hmm. So it's always out-of-state rate. So it's a higher rate. But even still, coupling that even still is less than Western's traditional tuition.
Yeah. So they would come here, stay here, yeah, go
yeah
to Carl Sandburg.
Which is wonderful. It helps us internationalize mm-hmm our campus. I mean, we're a pretty Caucasian district. I mean, that's changing a bit, but yeah, still, you know, we're not very international in our district. And so it helps us internationalize the campus in a way that we couldn't do through our district alone. And so it helps us bolster our programs with their enrollment, and it helps us bring on a whole new type of student onto our campus, which is, you know, really, mm-hmm, in today's global society, is really very much needed.
Well, I wondered about that, too, and I also wondered about some of the diversity in some of our communities, too, that might be coming to Carl Sandburg College to gain, you know, more skills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that will affect this at all as well. So,
mm-hmm, yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's really a good opportunity. We have this term, we just finished up, probably had about 10 international students. So not very many. Western, before they started their project, they had about 50. They're up to 500 now. And so I would like to get maybe around 100. I don't think we can probably manage a lot more than that, but I think that it's in today's times it's mm-hmm vital that we have that international component on our campus.
Yeah. We're going to pause for a moment. Lori, if you can stay, we'll
sure
take a news break and be back to talk about more aspects concerning Carl Sandburg College. We're visiting with Dr. Lori Sundberg, the president of Carl Sandburg College, tonight here on Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Terry Cavanaugh as we continue our discussion. We were talking during the break a bit about manufacturing, and I know in this last semester that Lori's been out to Pegasus Manufacturing. I think you've developed, an intern partnership with them, Lori?
We have. We have. Pegasus has taken on another component to their business. It's called Pegasus Machine Tool, headed by Dave Anderson, as well as the owners, Ray and Ruth Whitehead from Pegasus. But it's to create a training type of business, internship, apprenticeship type of program. And the biggest challenge that Pegasus has is they need a pretty highly skilled worker. And even what we would put them through would not be the level they would need. They would still need a higher level. And so students will come through us. They'll get their 1 or 2 year degree, and then they will go on to this training facility and do an internship really with that high level of skill. The jobs, there's plenty of jobs in that area here and other places. It is just really an area that has a severe shortage. And you and I were talking before we came back that there are jobs available in Galesburg, but it's this challenge of trying to match up the people who need them with the jobs and get the skills that they need to be successful in them. And it's a huge challenge.
So you are offering some introductory courses that will help to move this internship
we
along?
We would offer two. One is a machine tool operator, And it is a, I believe it's a one-year certificate. And then we also will offer the machine tool programmer, which is another level up. That would make them really ready for most entry-level jobs. But Pegasus is really doing some pretty high-tech stuff. Mm-hmm. And so what they're needing is a pretty high level of precision machining. And so they would go on and do this internship mm-hmm. out there for that level. And, you know, of course, if we – and then also the equipment that they train on is very expensive. And so – it's not one of those situations where all of us can have the same equipment. So we're going to have to share the equipment.
Yeah. You're not going to go put one of those in your...
Yeah. But it's a great partnership for us to have. Mm-hmm. And they're a wonderful, wonderful business that came to town, gosh, I think about 3 years ago. And they came here from California. So want them to be successful. I mean, they made a huge commitment in coming to Galesburg. And when I was telling you earlier, their factory, you don't even want to use the word factory because it doesn't even look like a factory. I mean, it's just spotless there. It's very high-tech machining. And if you get an opportunity to go out there, you should. It's a pretty neat facility.
Is the college partnering with other industries too? I know there was quite a push in the last 5 years to match up skilled courses with potential workers to benefit the companies that exist in our area.
Yeah, we work really closely with industry. We have every career technical and health program has an advisory committee. And the people that sit on the advisory committee are the people in industry. And so they're telling us, and they meet either once or twice a year, and they're telling us, you know, if our graduates have the right skills that they need. They're telling us when the curriculum needs to change. They come and speak to classes. I know I and Julie Gibb, our vice president of academic services, we go out and visit with manufacturers and with other industry, and we tour their facilities to try to understand, you know, what they're doing, what they need. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a really pretty close tie between the college and the industry.
Is the healthcare field still I know it's huge when you turn in terms of careers and finding the right people.
It is. And, you know, I'm hoping that's the challenge with this in today with the finances as they are and with the budget crisis is that the healthcare careers are very, very much in demand, but they're also really hard to keep maintained because equipment is so expensive. And so we always have waiting lists for those programs, and then they almost all get jobs either here or in the region because lots of jobs in healthcare right now, and that's going to continue, I think, for the near future.
Oh, I think so too.
It's interesting. We found out that 83% of all of our nursing graduates live within an hour of the college, live and work within an hour of the college, which is it's pretty amazing. And so, our graduates, our career tech and health graduates, tend to stay in the region. They tend to stay here. So, when you go to the hospital, I'd like to say when you go to the hospital, from the moment you get there until the moment you leave, you're typically cared for by Sandberg graduates. You know, your intake person, your nurses, your CNAs, your rad techs, your sonographers, your MRI people, all have come to Sandberg. So we make a big impact in the community.
We're going to pause for a moment. We're talking with Dr. Lori Sundberg from Carl Sandberg College. We'll continue our discussion after these messages. 547 on Galesburg's Evening News here on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Terry Cavanaugh, and my guest in the studios tonight is the president of Carl Sandberg College, Dr. Lori Sundberg. We've been talking about a variety of aspects of from graduation to some good news about financial aid for dual credit students and the Moody's rating staying the same and even some MAP grant funding coming to the college. But Lori, I think it's really no secret that this year has been probably, would you say, in your career, especially as president, one of the most challenging?
This year has been the most challenging year in my career in higher ed. It really has. It's just the uncertainty and just not knowing where things are going to land. And the college has good reserves, and which is one of the reasons the Moody's rating came back as it did. But as one board member said to me, it's taken us a long time to get those reserves. I mean, it's probably when I came to the college 20 years ago, I think we had maybe 3 days of operating funds. I mean, just not much at all. And today, you know, we have just in fund balance alone, we have like 65 days. And then we have other reserves on top of it. And so, you know, it's taken us 20 years to build that up. And you don't want to just deplete that all in a few years. And that's what can happen if we don't get something resolved. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge for students because they don't know if their MAP funding is going to come through or not. And a lot of students depend on that. You know, that's how they get through college. And so it really, really has been just a very, very challenging year.
Was this the first year that the children's school was no longer in operation, or has it been a couple of years?
It's been a couple of years now.
And that was a financial decision too, was it not?
Yeah, it was. I said, I feel like I'm going to be the president, go down in history as the president that's closed down programs or gotten rid of buildings. And, you know, I've been the cutting president. But that's the times that we're in right now. And the children's school, yes, it's been a couple years now. And, you know, it had lost a good deal of money. And it really wasn't serving students as much anymore. It was serving the community. And the new children's school has started over at Cook School. I think it's very successful. And really, you know, child care should be offered by the community. It shouldn't be offered by the college. You know, it's not a college program. And how we got into it was that, you know, we had a child development program and it served as our clinical site. And that program went away 3 years ago from lack of enrollment. And so it was the right financial decision. I think that, you know, it still was an emotional decision for a lot of people. A lot of people's children had gone through it and they had very fond memories of it. And I, you know, certainly understood that. It was one of the tougher decisions, I would say, I've had to make. And I think it was the right financial decision now as I look back. Because, I mean, things are even worse than what I would have thought 3 years ago. I don't think I could have ever predicted that we would, you know, not have a budget in May when we were supposed to have it the previous year in July. I mean, here we are, what?
No, it's a year later.
Ten months later and we have no budget. You know, I mean, that's just unheard of.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to get a budget for the next year either. So those are just, you know, they're really just unprecedented times.
Yeah. I know that you're closing the Bushnell, well, actually the building, but I think there were, what, less and less students actually going to that facility. So, again, probably a good financial decision just in terms of making sense from a budget standpoint.
Yeah, the model in the 90s for large districts like ours was to build these outposts out into the community, out into the district, because your district was so large. But that was before the advent of technology and distance education. And so we have not had any face-to-face classes in the Bushnell facility for 2 years. What we do in Bushnell, we do a lot of dual credit, and we also do a lot have a lot of students doing online. And so the building was used for those students who didn't have access to computers or internet at home. And so pretty expensive facility, you know, to service at like a computer lab. And so we decided that we would want to take those resources and put them really toward where education's going for us down there, which is in dual credit and online education. And so it's a transition as well. And it's kind of the changing dynamics of higher ed. You know, face-to-face is not the only form of education today. And as we have more and more students come to us who have grown up with computers and the whole digital age, I mean, they're used to learning online. And so it's a whole new time. We're really in many ways, we're at a very pivotal time in higher ed for a variety of reasons.
You wrote a nice, I'm not sure if it was an editorial or a commentary for Galesburg Promise.
Yes.
Tell our listeners what that is and why you're so fond of it.
Galesburg Promise was instituted 2 years ago by the mayor, Mayor Pritchard, and the city council, whereby 2% of the hotel-motel tax is taken and given to a fund. It goes to the Galesburg Community Foundation to fund Galesburg graduates, and they can come to the college. If they've gone all 12 years to Galesburg schools, they can come to the college for free. They have to pay books and they have to pay fees, but their tuition is waived. The mayor and the city council did that strictly as an economic development tool to create a reason for families to stay living here, whether they worked here or not, and at the same time to also create a more skilled workforce. And so it's been in existence for 2 years. The numbers are astronomical, and we actually need more than just the 2%. It's not covering it anymore. It really, we have more students coming to us than what we thought, and that's a good thing. It's a perfect thing. And I wrote this op-ed because I wanted to thank the council and the mayor for one thing, but also to forecast we're going to need probably another 2%, and also to give them just a couple of examples of the stories that I hear when people stop me. Paul Fecht is a student with us, and if anyone ever gets to talk with Paul Fecht, they will just be overwhelmed because he's wonderful, and he, you know, sings the praises of the Galesburg Promise. Charlotte Reed, her daughter, as well, had planned to go off to Northern, and she changed her mind with the promise. And that's what we want. We want to keep students here a couple more years. And in some cases, if they do career technical and health education, we want them to stay here and stay working here. So kudos to the mayor. Kudos to the city council. A great idea, and it's just been very, very successful.
Well, I know it's been a challenging year for you, and I appreciate you coming in to share those stories. I think one highlight for me of your year had to be when Dr. Masvidal paid his visit. He was quite enjoyable to talk to from Cuba, especially with the changes coming to Cuba right now.
We couldn't have foreseen that we would schedule that at that right time, but it sure worked out. I mean, so yeah, here he's, you know, in Galesburg, in Illinois, during this very pivotal time for Cuba and U.S. relations. And so, and his background, of course, is American history and Cuban history. So he was able to speak to all of that. And we had really record turnouts for his lectures, which is, you know, really kind of uncommon, but just really, really a neat guy. And I hope sometime we can go back to Cuba.
Yeah. We're going to wrap up our discussion with Dr. Lori Sundberg, the president of Carl Sandburg College. Again, Lori, thanks for your time. Congratulations, though, on the federal aid for the dual credit and the Moody's rating,
Thank you.
So some great news.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yep, always good to talk to you.